Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Again, I have been touched. Put your hand on your neighbor and say, you have been touched. Put your hand on the neighbor and say, you have been touched. Changed, healed, maybe been totally free from sin. Say that again. Totally free from sin. I have been touched. Changed, healed. Every shadow, grow, and need.
Because Thank you. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. His mercy is new every morning. We just bless him and we praise him and we glorify his name. Hallelujah. How many of you know that it's good to be in the presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what is going on. It is good to be in his presence. The Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures, that means pure. More than one, pleasures forevermore. You can have a great time all the time in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah, glory to God. This morning we are doing the final part of this subject matter, the prophetic commission and the divine presence. This is going to be the final part. We have another message we want to bring to you sometime soon, talking about David's four lambs. David's four lambs, we're going to be working on that. We had to go yesterday and do some air-conditioned work, trying to raise some money to help my sister and do some remodeling and fixing up on her house back in the country. So we just thank the Lord and praise the Lord for this opportunity to come before you this morning. We don't take it lightly that the Lord has allowed us. There are so many that were here on yesterday, day before, and they're no longer here. I was talking to a friend of mine in New York this morning, and he was, well, last night and this morning, he was telling me about, he says, I don't go to church. And I don't consider myself a Christian, he says, but there's not a day go by that I don't spend time talking to the Lord. He says, I pray and I read my word. He says, but I got to get baptized. And I told him, yes, you got to get baptized. As a matter of fact, you have to give your heart completely to Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not just reading the word and praying, but you have to know that you know that you know that you belong to him, that he is your father, that you are his son, you're his daughter. You have to know this inside. That don't mean that you're perfect. And I had to tell him that last night. I says, that don't mean that we are perfect. I said, I've been teaching and preaching for many years. I'm not perfect. I still make mistakes. And tell the truth, I still lust. You still lust too. You don't want to tell nobody, but you still lust because it's your flesh. Paul said, there's no good thing that dwells in this flesh. This flesh still lusts. This flesh still wants to do some things that we used to do before we were saved. Tell the truth and shame the devil. You still want to do some things that you used to do before you were saved because the flesh has not been saved. Your soul is saved, but not your flesh. That's why Satan keep coming at us all the time and want us to do some things that would take us to hell or take us away from God. And if we don't repent, we will go to hell. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for understanding. We thank you for giving us clear vision of what you want done, O God. Lord, according to your word, not because of something that we surmise or something we just conjure up, but your word declare, O God, that we must live holy. Hallelujah. Your word says that you are taking us from glory to glory and from faith to faith. So each day you are changing us as we allow you, as we come into your presence and humble ourselves to you and humble and come, O God, in repentance. Lord, you clean us. You wash off the scales that keeps us down. Oh, Father, we ask, O God, today for your forgiveness. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your grace all over the world, starting in the United States of America. Oh, God, we ask you to touch the president, the vice president, the Congress, the senators. Oh, God, touch Supreme Court Justice Department, the police department, or the fire department. Lord, touch the lay people out there in the world that are working for the kingdom. Touch every pastor. Touch every prophet, every apostle, every evangelist, every teacher, every deacon, every usher. God, we ask you to touch today, Lord God. Touch every housewife, oh God. Touch the children, the sons and daughters, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. Father, we ask you to stir up, oh God, a hunger and thirst for righteousness in the people, oh God. Lord, we see that the world is being led astray by our corrupt leaders. But, Lord, we know that you have the power, oh God, to draw the world back to you. You said you love the world so much that you give your only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We ask, Father God, that you touch today, that you bring transformation, that you bring unity, that you bring restoration in our country and in the world, oh God. Protect the unborn child, oh God. God, we ask you to turn men from going after men and women from going after women. Oh God, you did not create a woman to sleep with another woman, to have sex with another woman, or a man to have sex with another man. Lord, we ask you to touch the hearts of men and women, oh God, and let them use the sexual encounters that you have given them with the right, oh God, the right gender, oh God. Father, we pray today, in the name of Jesus, that you cause men, fathers and mothers to stand up for the truth and not allow their children to be taught this foolishness in the schools, oh God, and let them come against this transgender agenda, oh God, that's going to the church, going into the church buildings and coming into our schools, oh God, the drag queens that are going into the school to entice our children that they are not what they are. Oh God, that they are something else. Oh God, we pray today for this word that we are about to release, oh God, and we ask, Father, that you speak to us and speak through us. In the book of Kings, First Kings chapter 1, we are not going to be long before you today, but we want to give you a little bit of something today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. This is what the word of God says. And it's talking about David and his children and the system that was in place. It says in the King James Version, hallelujah, let's go to the King James Version. I had the logo set up, but let's go to King James Version. 1 Kings chapter 1, the very first chapter, and let's hear what the word is saying to us. A lot of people are prophesying out of their flesh, but not out of God's word. In other words, they're saying what they want to say, and it sounds eloquent, but it's not what God is saying. 1 Kings chapter 1. Verse 9 and 10 says that, here is what it says. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zohilah, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's son, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. Now, verse 24 and 25 says, and Nathan said, my lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? For he is gone down this day and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep and in abundance, and hath called all the king's sons and the captains of the host and Abiathar the priest, and behold, they eat and drink before him and say, God save King Adonijah. This is David's fourth son. In the book, as I was studying, I didn't notice that today, David had about 21 sons plus about 3 daughters. at least three daughters. We know that three of his sons died, and they actually died because of David's sin. Hallelujah. The prophet is commissioned to carry the word of God. This is what the prophet, and I said on day before yesterday that every preacher, every layperson has a prophetic anointing on them. That doesn't mean that they are prophets, but they have a prophetic anointing because they are supposed, we are supposed to carry the word of God. We are supposed to carry this message of God, the message of the gospel, the message of truth to the people that should hear. All but everybody should hear. But a lot of people don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear a compromising word that makes them feel happy. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to deliver the truth. So this son of David, he is not called to be the king in David's place. Hallelujah. Solomon is about the son of David. And David chose to put Solomon in position because he was trying to get things right. Understand? Sometimes you do so much wrong that you try to do right to see if you can cover the wrong. And his wrong was when he had sex with Bathsheba, and he sent Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, to the forefront of the battle so he can get killed, so he can have Bathsheba for himself. David already had about 7-8 women. Hallelujah. He had a lot of wives and concubines just like his son Solomon. Solomon had just like his father, because the father had them first. And he was making children from all. I said over 21 sons plus about three daughters. David had a lot of children. But this particular son defied David's plan. He didn't wait. David was old. David was not able to go and ride his mule like he did before. He was laid up in bed. He was becoming feeble. You know, the Bible says once a man tries to tell. So you go back to the child stage in your life where you're sitting in a wheelchair or you sit in a rocking chair in the house. You're not able to get up and go. You just got to sit down and watch. So Adonijah decided that he's going to just put himself in the king's on the king's throne. But that was not his position. That was not his place to do that. So the prophet Nathan told Bathsheba to go in and talk to your husband. Because your husband don't know what's going on the outside. He's inside, but he don't know that his son is down at the palace. And he's already sitting on the throne. He's making plans to sit on the throne as king. He's making sacrifices. Hallelujah. And he's called the people in the neighborhood to come and witness. And he's proclaiming himself king. He told Bathsheba, no, you go and talk to your husband. And while you are talking, I am going to come in and I am going to second the words that you speak. In other words, I'm going to stand in agreement with you. The words that you say. Here in this text, the prophet commissioned the divine presence. You see, when you are speaking the truth, presence of the Lord would be with you. You have a lot of preachers today, they have a lot of money because what they did is they preached the compromise, uncompromising word. They preached the word. Not the uncompromising. They preach the compromising word. They compromise the word of God, excuse me, before the people of God. And this is why we need to study the word of God. As God said in the book of Acts, we need to study the word every single day. Why? Because there's people that go and they call them wolf in sheep clothing. In other words, they look like a sheep, but it's not a sheep. When you remove the coating, you will find out that it's a, understand? In the book of Acts, the Berean church heard the prophets, the apostles, preaching and teaching. But the Bible says that the Berean church believed what the apostle was saying, but they studied the word daily. Today we live in a society where the people jump and scream when the preacher is preaching. All they say, preach, preacher, preach, you're preaching so good, or you're preaching so well. But they don't take the time out to go in the scriptures, to search the scriptures, whether or not the preacher is preaching God's word. You have to go in there. You have to make it a must that you go into the scriptures for yourself. The preacher's not going to tell you. Most preachers are going to tell you, open your Bible at this particular book because this is where I'm going. They come and they start preaching. Hallelujah. They pray. Some of them pray. Some don't pray. And they go in and start preaching the word. They start elaborating on what they take one verse, and then they put so much on that one verse. And most of the stuff that they're saying does not line up with the word of God. It just sounds good. You understand? So you have to go in there for yourself. Hallelujah. And see if all the stuff that the preacher is saying line up with the word. Here, let's go to another scripture. Glory. Let's go to 2nd chapter of Zephaniah. That's Zephaniah. Zephaniah. Not Zechariah. Zephaniah. Hallelujah. Let's start at verse 1. And here the prophet is speaking. Remember, we're talking about the prophetic commission and the divine presence. So he says, I'm coming out the Amplified Bible today in this one here. So let's look and see what he's saying. He says, collect your thoughts or get your thoughts together. Unbend yourselves in submission and see if there is no sense of shame and no consciousness of sin left in you. O shameless nation, not desirous or desire. He said, look, examine yourself. Search your own heart, search your own mind, and see why there's no shame in you for the sin that you have been committing against God. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. We sometimes can get so engulfed in sin. I know I was. I don't know about you, but I know I was. It felt so good while I was doing it that I even want to do it some more. Because it felt good. I was sitting using crack cocaine, taking stuff out of my own house. I didn't come to your house. I take stuff out of my house, the TV, the VCR, all of that stuff I took to the pawn shop to get some money so I could get high. I was running here with this woman and that woman because I knew at the time, I had access to money. I was making money. And when I ran out of money, I went home and took something to the pawn shop so I could keep the cocaine on the table. Do you hear me today? And the women loved that, especially those that was drug addicts. And some of them were so pretty. They were beautiful that you couldn't even believe that they were even smoking crack cocaine. I remember having a young lady. She was young, much younger than I. She was very light-skinned, and her skin was like silk, beautiful. And when she gets high on cocaine, she would take off all her clothes and just stand up in the middle of the house where we were. And she felt nobody could see her, that she was invisible. You understand what we were doing? Because sin will make you feel that nobody else can see that you are sinning. Hallelujah. And you will continue in sin until God convicts you to turn away. God is a faithful God. He says, collect your thoughts. Yes, unbend yourself in submission and see if there is no sense of shame and no consciousness of sin left in you. O shameless nation, not desirous or desire. Look at America. America need to unbend themselves They are so corrupt right now, our nation. So bent over in sin that they need to unbend themselves, itself, herself. They believe that they're doing what making them feel good. Homosexuals are half naked, exposing themselves even in the school system. And teachers that you think that are so smart, so intelligent, is in agreement with this drag queen stuff coming up in the schools. And you got some pastors that are allowing them to come into the church now and dance and even preach. Even preach, can you imagine that? Even coming into the house of the Lord and calling themselves preachers. Dress a man dressed like a woman and a woman dressed like a man. Telling you that we need to get things right. How can you get things right when you are wrong? You're starting wrong. The man says, the first thing you have to do is get yourself right. Because you can't get stuff right when you start wrong. You have to get yourself right first. We are trying to correct everybody when we are wrapped up in sin like barbed wire. Barbed wire has us. We are wrapped up in sin so tight that it's choking us to the grave. But we are trying to correct everybody, the mom and the dog, the cat. We are trying to correct everyone and not examining ourselves. It's like someone has broken window panes. Their glass is shattered, cracked. The elements are coming through the glass, the cold weather, the hot weather. The snow is seeping in. The water from the snow is seeping in through the cracked window panes. But they're telling you about your house, your windows. They say your windows don't look good, but they don't look at these. Hallelujah. It's like the boy trying to take the moke out of his brother's eye while he has a plank in his eye. Aren't there people like that? They're trying to tell you, well, you're not living right. All the time they're doing all the worst things that you're doing. You may have bent and had sex with some woman. You had some interaction with somebody. Look, they're committing murder. They're doing all types of crimes, and so far they have not been caught, but they're pointing out your error. I don't have a finger to point at anybody. I'm telling you this. I don't have a finger to point at anybody because I still make errors. I still have a lot of flaws that are not fixed yet. I'm telling you this today because the Lord wants me to say this today. I know he wants me to say this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 2 says, the time for repentance is speeding by like chaff whirled before the wind. Therefore, consider before God's decree brings forth the curse upon you. Before the time to repent is gone like the drifting chaff. Before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you. Yes, before the day of the wrath of the Lord comes upon you. Hear what the prophet is saying. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to Judah. He's talking to the children of God, the people of God. And he's telling them that the time for repentance is speeding fast. In other words, we have an allotted time before God get here. Before the judge of all judges, before the king of all kings come to judge the quick and the dead. And everybody is saying, oh, well, I still got time. I'm only 24 years old. I'm only 25 years old. I got a lot of time. Them old people, they better repent now because they might die any time. But we got news for you. Watch the news. Watch the television station. Listen to the radio station. Listen and you would hear and you would see. If you open your eyes, how the young people are dying, they're not even living to see 21. They're dying at 18 and 19 and 20, 16 and 17, 14 and 15. Do you hear me today? He said that the time for repentance is speeding by like the chaff whirl before the wind. You know, when they had wheat, when they had harvested the wheat, the wheat would go through a machine, a sifter, and it would shake it in the air, would throw the wheat in the air, and the wind would blow the chaff. It's like the husks and stuff, and the leaves and stuff from the wheat. and the grains of the wheat would drop down into the machine to be ground into flour. But the leaves will go another place. They will be blown away because the leaves are lighter, and the chaff is lighter than the wheat. So he said that this is how repentance is passing. The time to repentance is passing by. And we got to take the time while the window, while the door is open for us to come in and repent. The prophet is saying the presence of the divine presence is coming in. It's going to come in to judge the quick and the dead. So the prophet is declaring it's time. The time is now. Verse 3 says, seek the Lord, inquire of him and require him as the foremost necessity of your life. What the prophet saying? You ought to go after God like that's the only thing. And he is. He is the only thing that you need for survival. Not milk, not chocolate, not ice cream, not steak, not hamburgers, not barbecue spear ribs, not fried fish, not scallops, not clams. Do you understand what I'm saying? The thing that we need for survival is the breath of Jesus Christ blown upon us and in us. That's what we need. We need to know that he's blowing life on us. That life abundantly that he talks about in John 10:10. We ought to be going after him like that. This is what we really desire. Go, so listen what the prophet says. We got to seek the Lord, inquire for him, inquire of him, and require him as the foremost necessity of our lives. All you humble of the land who have acted in compliance with his revealed will and have kept his commandments, seek righteousness, seek humility, inquire for him, require them as vital. It may be you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Listen. If you seek him, if you go for him with all that's inside you, when the day of anger, you may be spared. You may be spared because you took the initiative to seek the Lord with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Hallelujah. You did not allow anything. Yes, you may have fallen. You may have slipped once or twice, two or three or four times. But you got back up. You repented. You brushed yourself off. And you got back in line seeking the Lord. You may have went out and have sex with some woman. You may have had sex with some man. You may have smoked some dope or drink some alcohol. You may have even cracked a curse word. But when you realize that you were doing something that you shouldn't have done, you said, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me. Strengthen me in this area of my life, oh God, that I'm weak. And before the word could even come out your mouth, the Lord was extending grace and mercy. That's what forgiveness is. Unmerited favor. God extend to us, you and I. There's times that I go so deep in my thoughts, I'm thinking about this woman, I'm thinking about this thing or that thing, and it's not godly. I'm just telling you, I don't have to tell you all this, but God knows, because the Bible says he sits high and sees low. I know there's some women and some men that are preaching and teaching the gospel, and they want you to think that they're so holy that they don't have no impure thoughts at any time. But I got news for you. As long as you're in this flesh, you're studying the Bible 24/7. This time that you just laying on the bed or sitting in the rocking chair, the easy chair, or on the sofa couch, you're sitting on it, and you may be watching television, and all of a sudden, something would come up in your mind that's impure. Hallelujah. Why? Because the flesh is still awake. The flesh is still alive. But you gotta confess that. If you want to have power over it, if you don't confess it, guess what happens? You'll find yourself in the crack house, the whore house. You'll find yourself at ABC liquor store. You'll find yourself going down to the dope man. You'll find yourself cussing. All of a sudden, people will be looking at you. Well, I thought he was safe. I thought she was safe. Why? Because when the thought come, you wouldn't even shut it down. You went on. I came back from Barbados, and I had some beets and stuff, plant beets and a lot of different things I got planted in my garden. And I came back and I saw this huge beet. It was so big in the ground that it protruded itself out of the ground, and it's up top the ground, on top the ground now. One of the beets, I'm gonna take it up today, but its roots are down in the ground. But the beet is up top the ground, big purple. I said, Lord, look at this. Hallelujah. It showed me that when you put in, take the initiative to do some things, God will honor what you're doing, even when you come up short. And then do everything the way that it should be done. God still honor you. Because he said you're taking the initiative to do some things. Some people don't want to pray. They don't want to fast. And when they fall into a deep slop, now they want somebody to pray for them. I don't wait till I get in the slop. I want people to pray for me all the time. Because I know I'm not perfect. I know I still do some things. And I have some thoughts that are not pure. They're not according to God's will. So I have to have people pray. Verse 4 says, for hear the faith of the Palestinians. Excuse me. For hear the faith of the Philistines. I don't know where Palestine comes because I can see it clearly. Hear the faith of the Philistines. Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ascalon shall become a desolation. The people of Ashdod shall be driven out at noonday, and Ekron shall be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nations of the Cherethites and Philistia. The word of the Lord is against you, O Cana, land of the Philistines. I will destroy you until no inhabitants is left. Now, the God had the prophet now commission the prophet to deliver this word to all of these rebellious people who is causing his people to sin. Sometimes we're not set out to commit sin or do sin, but what happened is that we connect ourselves to people because we want to be with the in crowd. We want to be with the in crowd. Hallelujah. I was talking to a lady this morning, I'm chatting with her on Messenger. I really, really care about this lady. I like her a lot. I like her a lot. And she was saying, well, I was with my family, and we were having a good time. And I said, I was with them because I know they had a good time, good Holy Ghost time. You know, because sometimes you want to be with people that are celebrating God, that are celebrating each other. You know, not with people who are caught up in this worldly stuff. You want to have associates or in associations where we are. You know, the people say association, simulation brings on association. You are handed out with people that you know they're acting unseemly. Excuse me. You know they have an unseemly lifestyle, but you still want to hook up with them. And this is where a lot of preachers today find themselves in a bad place. They find themselves in a bad place. Why? Because what happened is they're trying to fit in. I talked about that day before yesterday. They may have had one or two tattoos before God called them into ministry. But once they got into ministry and their ministry began to grow, flourish, in other words, it may have started with the family members and about two or three other people, maybe six or eight people, maybe 10 people. And now the ministry got up to 500 or 600, maybe 1,000, 2,000 people. They forget about the commission that God has placed upon them lives. So now they want to grow the ministry even more, because the bigger the ministry gets, the more money they make. And you know, they tell you it's a business. They don't say this is the church of the living God. They said this is a business. So they do everything to try to make more money. Now they're going to say, well, they start getting more tattoos, more piercings, and all this stuff. The wife is pierced up. The man is pierced up. Depends if he's a husband and wife or if he's a man and man or woman and woman. Because what they're trying to do, they're trying to make more money. They're not trying to win more souls. Here, the prophet told them, he says another indictment on them. He said, woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Keratites and Philistia. The word of the Lord is against you. See, the word is going to judge you. The word is powerful. The Bible says it's like a two-edged sword. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it cuts you going in and it cuts you coming out. Hallelujah. He said the word of the Lord is against you, O Cana, land of the Philistines. I will destroy you until no inhabitants is left. In other words, he's going to clean out the land. What did he do with Sodom and Gomorrah? He totally destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. God did this because of the sin. What do you think if America don't repent, going to happen to America? America can't save itself. Only God can save America. America bombs and nuclear weapons and all this stuff and laser weapons that they have can't save America. It may protect America from some of the enemies, but it can't save America from God. The bunkers that America has and Germany has and Italy has and Israel has, all of these countries have, China have, Ukraine have, Russia have, all of these bunkers that they have dig deep down on the earth, 3-4 stories down underneath the ground, can't save them from God. It doesn't matter how thick they make the walls, 18 inches thick, 3 feet thick, 4 feet thick. Doesn't matter how thick they make the walls in their bunkers. They have these doors that they say is seal proof. No nuclear fumes can come through. Sealed tight. But guess who can get through? God walks straight through the wall. The walls, the seal can't protect, can't prevent him or protect you from him coming to you. Listen to what he says. Hallelujah. The seacoast shall be pastures with deserted dwelling places and caves for shepherds and folds for flocks. Do you hear what God says? The seacoast shall be pastures with deserted dwelling places and caves for shepherds and folds for flocks. I mean the sheep and the goat and all that's going to be running back and forth. Of course, getting all the people going to be destroyed. Those people, the wicked. The seacoast shall belong to the remnant of the house of Judah. The remnant is the one who stand firm, flat-footed, serving God with everything that's within them. Do you hear me today? Who are you serving today? God or the world? They shall pasture their flock upon it. In the houses of deserted Philistines. Ascalon. Ascalon shall there of Judah lie down in the evening. For the Lord their God shall visit them for their relief and restore them from their captivity. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 29 to 31. Amos chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. When you live the life that God called you to live, all that the enemy took from you, God going to restore. I want you to know this. Sometimes we are looking at others and we are seeing how they are prospering. We're looking at the wicked or the unrighteous or the sinner man, the one who is habitually sinning. And we say, well, I go to church on Sunday morning. I go to church Wednesday night. I'm at the church on Saturday and Friday morning. I'm in the church building whenever the church opens. I go to every event that takes place in the church. How come I'm not prospering? I'm not able to pay my rent. I'm not able to pay my mortgage. I'm not able to pay my car note. I'm not able to keep food and keep my children clothed. Can't keep food on the table for my kids. People are saying this, and they're going to church, and they're going in and they're fellowshipping, and they're saying, "Why? I pay my tithes, I give my offering." But it seems like I can't get nothing good happen for me. My body is rocked with pain. I'm full of all this stuff is going on. But God said, if you stay flat-footed, if you stay in the word, if you honor his word, if you keep his commandments. David lost four of his children he lost because of his sin. But God says to David, was a man after his own heart. David cried out. In Psalm 51, he cried out to God to spare his life. Because when he killed, sent Bathsheba, Uriah to the forefront of the battle to get killed. He didn't know that Nathan was talking about him. He said, the man that did this stuff, that took this little ewe lamb from the poor man, he should surely die. But Nathan told him that he was the man. And David had to go to God and plead for his life in Psalm 51. God spared his life, but the sin did not go unpunished. David lost four of his sons because of his sin. The Bible said, unto the third and fourth generation. This is why when we are sinning, we have to, as a matter of fact, we got to stop sinning, because if it miss you, if the judgment miss you, if the punishment miss you, it's going to catch your son, your daughter, your grandson, or your great-grandson, or great-granddaughter. Hallelujah. David pleaded for his life. God saved him and let him live to a ripe old age, but four of his sons died. I might teach about it Saturday morning. Listen what he says. Verse 8 says, I have heard the prophecy. I have heard the taunts of Moab. God talking to the prophets. God said he heard these things. I have heard the taunts, plural, of Moab and the revelings of the Amorites, by which they have reproached my people and magnified themselves and made boasts against their territory. People are looking at us and say, well, we brought them out of Africa. They come out slaves, can't get it from where they are. We are keeping our feet on their neck. We are keeping our feet on their neck that they can't breathe and they will die. God said, I heard the thorns and the of Moabites, Moab, and the revelings of the Amorites, by which they have reproached my people, his people, and magnified themselves. Do you see how these folk that have all the money and the big homes, they got the jets and they got the yachts, how they boast, and they say, some of them getting on television saying that God called them up and tell them this, and God called them up and asked them what to do. God don't have to ask no man or woman what to do. He's God of himself. The only body he asks is himself. He talked to himself. He said, let us make man in our own image. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He talked to himself. He don't have to ask nobody for permission when he wants to judge, when he rules. He don't have to ask anyone. Listen what he says. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Moab shall become like Sodom and the Amorites like Gomorrah, a land possessed by nettles and wild vetches and salt pits, a perpetual desolation. The remnant of my people shall make a prey of them, and what is left of my nation shall possess them. Let me tell you something. You better get ready to possess some things that God has already prepared for you. People of God, we have to get ready to possess the things that God has already prepared. Because he says that the just, my God, shall live by faith. He said the sinner man has what we need. And the sin of man going to die and leave it for us. God says so. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you have to be ready. Get ready to possess. Stop complaining. Listen, listen, listen. Then verse 10 says, this shall they have for their pride, because they have taunted and boasted against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be terrible to them, for he will make lean and famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, everyone from his place, even all the isles and coastlands of the nation. Joel chapter 2, verse 11. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 4. We've said that before. And Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. God going to do terrible things to your enemies. Do you remember? David says, I hate what he hates, and I love what he loves. Hallelujah. You have to continue to walk this walk. You Ethiopians also, you shall be slain with the sword. Isaiah chapter 18. Verse 13 says, the Lord will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation, dry as the desert. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 12. Nahum chapter 1 and 1. Herds, verse 14. Herds lie down in the midst of Nineveh. All the wild beasts of the nations and of every kind, both the pelican and the hedgehog, shall lodge on the upper part of her fallen pillars. The voice of the nesting bird shall sing in the windows. Desolations and drought shall be on the threshold, for her cedar paneling will be laid bare. Verse 15 and final verse. This is the joyous and exultant city that dwell carelessly, feeling so secure, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none besides me. What a desolation she has become. A lair for birds, beasts. Everyone who passes by her shall hiss and wave his head, kidding his gratification. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5 to 34 and 47, verse 8 and 10. This is what God is saying to us today. People, you have to get ready to possess. The prophecy declaring and decreeing what this says. Lord, go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. And in the Amplified Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 17 and 18. You may not eat within your towns the tithes of your grain, or of your new wine, or of your oil, or the firstlings of your herd or flocks, or anything you have vowed, or your freewill offerings, or the offerings from your hand of garden products. But, verse 18, you shall eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God shall choose. You and your son and your daughter, your manservant and your maidservant, and the Levite that is within your towns, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all that you undertake. Listen to what he says. Take heed not to forsake or neglect the Levite, God minister, as long as you live in your land. When the Lord your God enlarge your territory, as he promised you, and you say, I will eat flesh because you You crave flesh. You may eat flesh whenever you desire. If the place where the Lord your God has chosen to put his name and presence is too far from you, then you shall kill from your herd if or flock which the Lord has given you. As I, Moses, have commanded you, eat in your towns as much as you desire, just as the roebuck and the hart is eaten. So you may eat of it, but not offer it. The unclean and the only, be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. And you may not eat the life with the flesh. You shall not eat it. You shall pour it out on the earth like water. This is the command of the Lord. Let us go down to Joel chapter 2. Joel, hallelujah, Joel chapter 2. The word of God is plain. And when you hear the prophet speaking like this, man, you better listen. Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Listen to, I'm talking about the prophetic commission and the divine presence. The prophet, the true prophet, is speaking the word of God. We got to listen to what the prophet is saying. The prophet is saying what God wants to be heard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2 verse 1. He said, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mount, Zion. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. That's judgment. The day of the Lord is judgment. It is close at hand. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 2 to 4. Amos chapter 5, verse 16 to 20. This is talking about the day of the Lord. Judgment day is coming. But people are having a good time. Do you hear me? People are excited. Joel chapter 1 and verse 15. Alas, the day. Alas, for the day. For the day. The day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the judgment of the Lord is at hand. And as a destructive tempest from the Almighty will it come. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 14 to 18. All these scripture we give you day before yesterday. We are just in a deep sleep. Excuse me. We are in a deep sleep. And God is saying for us, time, my son, my daughter, it's time to wake up. Don't get caught in a deep sleep. The prophet is speaking. The prophet is speaking to us. Obadiah chapter 15 says, the vision of Obadiah, thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard tidings from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent forth among the nations, saying, arise, and let us rise up against Edom for battle. Psalm 137, verse 7. Isaiah 34, verse 1 to 15. Isaiah 63, verse 1 to 6. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 7 to 22. Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 8 to 14. Verse 2 says, behold, I will make you small among the nations, Edom. You shall be despised exceedingly, Ezekiel chapter 35. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you dweller in the refuse of the rock, Petra, Edom's capital, whose inhabitants is high, who says in his heart, who can bring me down to the ground? You look at these rich folks, these mega millionaires and billionaires. They are pride. Look at prideful. Look at Elon Musk, Steve Jobs, George Soros, all of these folk that have a lot of money, that are billionaires and millionaires, Oprah Winfrey, T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, Charles Stanley, he just gone. His son is a homosexual. He gave his message, he gave his ministry to, what's his name? Andy Stanley. He's a homosexual. He has his father put him in the position as the preacher. Knowing that his son is a homosexual, Charles Stanley was a good preacher. But he put his son out to run the house of the Lord, who is a homosexual, just like our Eli, two sons, where they run the synagogue. And they got killed in the battle. And because of their sin, and Eli didn't correct his sons, Eli fell over and broke his neck in the temple. But here in this text, the Bible says God is speaking to us. He says to us, hallelujah, though you mount on high as the eagle, and though you set your nest above the stars, I will bring you down from there, says the Lord. This is Satan, to bring down Satan. And the same people that have that mindset of Satan, the devil, will be brought down. He says, if thieves came to you, if robbers by night, how you brought to nothing, would they not steal only enough for themselves? If grapes gatherers came to you, would they not leave some grapes for gleaning? But this ravening was done by God, not men. God destroy everything. Jeremiah chapter 49:9. How are the things of Esau, Edom, searched out? How are his hidden treasures sought out? All the men of your confederacy have brought you on your way, even to the border. The men who were at peace with you have deceived you and prevailed against you. They who eat your bread have laid a snare under you. There is no understanding in Edom or of it. Listen. Will not I, in that day, says the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom and men of understanding out of Mount Esau, Edomia, in mountainous region? And your mighty men, O Timon, shall be dismayed, to the end that everyone from Mount Esau will be cut off by slaughter. For the violence you did against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. What you do will come back to you. We always say, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. Hallelujah. On that day that you stood aloof from your brother Jacob, on the day that strangers took captive his forces and carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were even as one of them. Numbers chapter 20, verse 18 to 20. Amos chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. But you should not have gloated over your brother's day, the day when his misfortune came and he was made a stranger. You should not have rejoiced over the sons of Judah in the day of their ruin. You should not have spoken arrogantly in the day of their distress. A lot of times, people, when you've fallen, when things are not going right for you, people are making fun. You know, like some folk are thinking that, you know, where we Blog Talk Radio is falling. No, we went to this place before. We was here on Blog Talk Radio when it was just me and Evangelist Campbell. It was time when it was just me alone. But I still come on in the morning, and I do the word. I play the worship, and then I pray, and then I get out. Because when God called me, he didn't say that you're going to have all these people helping you. He didn't tell me that. He just said start a church line. Put the word out there in the atmosphere. Somebody's going to be surfing, and somebody's going to hear the word, and somebody's going to believe the word. This is what God told me. A lot of times we are looking for all these people to come, and they're going to come and preach, and they're going to teach, and they're going to sing, and they're going to dance. But it comes to a place where the people ain't going to come. You still have to continue to open the line, prayer, sing, dance, do whatever the Lord commissioned you to do. Just open the line, prayer, sing a song, play a song, do whatever the Lord. And then when you will know in your own heart when you have fulfilled the commission of God that God told you for that day, for that night, for that weekend, then you pray and go up. Don't be upset because a whole lot of people didn't come to the service. You were there. The Holy Ghost was there. God was there in the spirit. You may not feel him. You may not see him. But he's there. But why? Because you are talking about him. You are upholding him. You are glorifying him. You are ushering him in by the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart. God is there. People get upset. Well, I'm on the prayer line and nobody show up. But don't worry about that. God is there. You and God's a majority. Me and God's a majority. That's why sometimes I don't want to go on. I really don't. And the Lord said, boy, get up, son, get up and turn on the line. Turn on the computers. And when I turn on the computer, I know he's there because my whole countenance, my whole feeling, my whole everything changed inside of me and outside of me changed because I know God is here. He says, we shouldn't laugh at our brothers and sisters. When they fall, when they come up short, we shouldn't make fun of them. Why? Because the same way you make fun of them, the same way somebody make fun of you. Sooner or later, you're going to get in that position where somebody going to make fun of you. So you ought to be what we should do for stuff. When our brothers and sisters fall short, we should pray for them. He says, this is what he says. Glory to God. You should not have entered the gate in the day of their calamity and ruin. Yes, you should not have looked with delight. See, we get excited when our enemies are falling. When they're not doing well, we get excited. And if we know we can do a play a part to help them, but we don't help them because we want to see them fall. God said you shouldn't do that. He said, on their misery, in the day of their calamity and ruin, and not have reached after their army and their possessions, in the day of their calamity and ruin. You should not have stood at the crossway to cut off those of Judah who escaped. Neither should you have delivered up those of Judah who remain in the day of distress. Sometimes we just want to talk on everybody. He said, for the day of the Lord is near upon all nations. Nobody going to escape the day of the Lord. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your dealings will return upon your own head. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 10 to 22. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8 to 20. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1 to 14. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 21. This is all in the scripture. It tells you plainly, if we mock people, people are going to mock us. Hallelujah. If we belittle people, we're going to come to a time in our life where we will be belittled. God telling you this. Let me finish this chapter, and then we're going to close up. It says, verse 15, the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. as you have done, it shall be done to you. Your dealings will return upon your own head. Verse 16 says, for as you, Edom, have drunk upon the mountain of my holiness, desecrated it in the wild revelry of the destroyers, so shall all the nations drink continually in turn of my wrath. Yes, they shall drink, talk foolishly, and swallow down the full measure of punishment, and they shall be destroyed as though they had not been. Revelation chapter 16, verse 14 to 16. See, folk is thinking that they're going to have a great time. They say, we don't have nothing to worry about. We have plenty of money. We have plenty accessibility to this and that. And we can do whatever we want to. But God says the day of judgment is coming. And it's coming like a whirlwind. You have to repent now. Don't wait till repentance is blown away. God tell us that we read earlier. Hallelujah. But listen to what he says. Verse 17, but on Mount Zion and Jerusalem there shall be deliverance for those who escape, and it shall be holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess it, all its former possessions. Ezekiel chapter 36, Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau shall be stubble. See, Esau the trickster. No. They shall kindle the burnt. They shall kindle and burn them and consume them. And there shall be no survivor of the house of Esau. For the Lord has spoken it. Jacob tricked Esau. Listen. Ezekiel 25 verse 12 to 14. There of the south, the Negev, shall possess Mount Esau. And there of the lowland of the Philistines, they shall possess the land of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead across the Jordan River. Amos chapter 9 verse 12, Zephaniah chapter 2 verse 7. And the exiles of the host of the children of Israel who are among the Canaanites shall possess Phoenicia as far as Zarephath. And the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Zephirah shall possess the cities of the south, the Negev, and deliverers shall go up on Mount Zion to rule and judge Mount Esau, and the kingdom and the kingship shall be the Lord's. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 8 and 9, Malachi chapter 1, verse 2 to 5, Matthew 24, verse 27 to 30, Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33, Acts chapter 15, verse 14 to 17. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. And we bless your holy name. We ask you, O God, to continue to keep us, watch over us. Shield us from all hurt, harm, and danger, O God. Lord, we praise you, and we lift you up this day. We ask you, Father God, to continue to watch over us and keep us secure from all hurt, harm, and danger. Lord, let us continue to hear your voice. Continue to seek your way and not our way. Lord, we pray for this here church line. We pray that you would bring folk to work in the kingdom, that you would bring folk that are eager to learn, eager to grow, eager to help your people. Lord God, that they would forget about themselves, and as the songwriter says, they will concentrate on you. Lord, it will be none of us but all of you. Oh, Father, we pray that you heal somebody today. You draw somebody today. Let somebody have the initiative to seek your face today. Oh, God, that they just reach out from where they are and say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Father, I heard your word today, and I'm touched by what your word has released in my ear gates today. I repent of my sin. I acknowledge my sin, and I repent of it today according to your word. Lord, create in me a clean heart today and renew a right spirit. I believe the word that says that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures declare that whoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. In Romans chapter 3 and 23, the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L. That means you and whoever. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. See, you can't purchase this salvation. You cannot purchase freedom from sin. You may have a lot of money and say, well, I'm going to give these people this money. You can get, they'll take the money, but they can't set you free from sin. They can't wash you. They can't cleanse you. They can't deliver you from sin. Only Jesus can. Regardless of what the world is saying, because many people are saying that there's many ways to God, that Jesus is not the only way, but there's only one way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. He said that. He let you know straight and plainly that he is the only doorway. He is the only gateway to the Father. You cannot get there no other way else. You got to come through the blood. The Bible says without the washing of the blood, the cleansing of the blood, there's no remission of sins. So you have the blood has to be used, the blood has to be activated in order for you to receive the gift of salvation, the gift of cleansing that only comes from Jesus, the blood of Jesus. So you must accept Jesus as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16 and 31. Jesus is the only way. Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. You cannot get away. You cannot get in. You cannot get out but by Jesus. He said, you will be condemned by your very words, your very actions. Hallelujah. You will be judged and condemned by your very words. Either you'll be condemned to everlasting damnation, or you will be delivered into everlasting life. The choice is yours. Peter says in Acts 2 and 38 that you must let everyone repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what you have to do. There's no getting wrong. Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. Saying that Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to salvation. He's the only way to restoration. He's the only way, oh God, to eternal life. In Mark chapter 16, Peter was backing up this right here. In Mark chapter 16, this is what he says. Jesus spoke this word. Hallelujah. Because baptism is part of your salvation. Yes, I know the thief on the cross didn't baptize because he was in a different dispensation, but he received salvation right there on the cross. Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is the word of God. You have to be baptized, and you have to be baptized in Jesus' name, according to Acts 2:38. Glory to God. Jesus, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16. He loved the world, God the Father. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent his Son to save the world. He didn't come in as a judge. He come in, oh God, he come in as a deliverer. He come in as a deliverer. He coming back as a king. Hallelujah. He coming back as a king, and he's coming back as a judge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil heareth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved or made known, examined. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought or done or made clear in God. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. And we pray, O God, that someone would hear this word and they would submit and commit, like Bishop James said, to the will of the Father, to the Son. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are just like I was before I came to know him. Hallelujah. He's still working on me, though. I'm not there where I want to be, but I'm thanking God I'm not where I used to be. But if you are there right now, that you know that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, the Bible said the first thing you need to do is repent. And repentance just means that you take the initiative to turn away from your sin. You are walking away from your sinful lifestyle. This is what you made up in your mind. You are walking away from your lifestyle. You have made that decision. You are no longer going to walk according to the dictates of this world. Hallelujah. You have made that decision. So now, what you do is that since you made that decision not to live in that lifestyle anymore, you denounce Satan. Denounce Satan and all of his agents. He have agents in the earth realm. They go from place to place tempting people, because Satan don't have the power as God to go, that he can go every place at the same time. So he have to activate some of his agents. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just like an insurance company. Insurance company has many agents. And they may have one office in this city, office in the next city, in another state, and so on. But Satan have agents in different cities, different towns, and they do his bidding. Hallelujah. To attempt mankind and distract mankind from the will of God. So the first thing you have to do is denounce the one that was controlling you. So you denounce that agent of Satan that's been controlling your life, that had you doing things that are contrary to God's word. So you say, I denounce Satan and his agents, all that they stand for, and the world system. See, because he's controlling the world system. Remember, Jesus says that Satan is the god of this world. So he's controlling this world system. So you got to denounce him. Release the hold that he had on you. Hallelujah. By faith, you denounce him. And glory to God, you say, Lord Jesus, I submit to you now as Lord and Savior of my life. My heart is open and I'm inviting you to come into my heart, take up rightful position as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. I receive you now, Jesus. Oh, mighty God, I receive you as my Savior. And I thank you for the blood that you have cleansed me with even right now, according to, oh God, 1 John 1 and 9 said, if I confess my sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive my sins, oh God, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You see, he cleansed us from all unrighteousness with the washing and rejuvenation of his blood. Oh God, we just thank you right now. The water that you wash us with, the blood that you wash us with, the words that you wash us with, we thank you, Father God. We ask you that if you receive the gift of salvation, you know this. I ask that you get a Bible and just begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Or you might want to start at the book of Genesis and just study through. But while you begin to study, invite the Holy Spirit. Just invite him to come. See, he is a person. He's not an it. People call him that. Invite him. He's not an it. He's not a that. Hallelujah. He's not a what. He is a person. Invite the Holy Spirit to come and give you clear understanding. Teach you what you are looking at, what you are researching, what you are studying. And he will make it plain to you. The Holy Spirit would. Hallelujah. Don't get caught up with these people that say they went into heaven and they walk around with Jesus and Jesus showed him the library and all that kind of, because people, the prophets are seeing all kind of foolishness on YouTube. I mean, these men that call themselves men of God, they're talking foolishness about how they went to heaven and they sit down and had breakfast with Jesus and all this kind of stuff. I mean, foolish stuff, you know, and stuff that's not in the Bible. God only says, when God speaks to us, you can go in the Bible and see. If God says something to you, it's in the Bible. He's not going to tell you anything new that's not there. Solomon said there's nothing new underneath the sun. Everything is already in this book. Even the airplanes that's flying in the sky, they talked about that. The flying stuff that's going to be flying in the atmosphere. They say plane, but it tells you about the flying objects that's going to be in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So nothing new. If people are prophesying them foolish stuff, you just walk away from them because it's not of God. They're prophesying. They're saying something that's coming from Satan that want to entice you to make you give more money. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Kenneth Courtland did that a lot. He does it a lot, and he's mesmerized thousands upon thousands, if not millions of people with his foolishness of talking. It's not of God. I pray that you listen, you find a church, and you ask the pastor to baptize you. Before you get baptized, make sure you invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, even your enemies, because you want witnesses. This is the best time of your life. This will be your new birth date, the day that you get baptized, and you don't want to take it lightly. This is when you're moving from the old to the new. Hallelujah. From the old person that you are to the new person that you are coming. And you're going to go down in the water, maybe at the beach, maybe at the river, maybe in a baptismal pool in the church building, maybe at a swimming pool at the YMCA or one of those places. But you're going to go down in water. I mean, you're submerging. You're not being sprinkled with a little pouring water on your head. That's not baptizing. That's sprinkling. Baptizing means to be submerged. Go down in the water like a submarine. Go down the water, cover you from head to toe. And you come back up alive in Christ Jesus, leaving all your sin in that water, all your defections in that water, imperfections you leave in the water. Hallelujah. And you come back up being perfected in Christ Jesus. Find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved. Become part of the ministry. Don't be a spectator. If they're teaching the truth, that's the church you want to be in. If they're just talking about prosperity and name it and claim it, that's not the church you want to be in. You want to be a church that is speaking the truth in love, even though it hurts your heart, because God will cut you to heal you. Hallelujah. Cut you to heal you. Hallelujah. You got to get cut before you can be healed. All of that bad stuff that's inside your heart has to be let out. And God does surgery on your heart. He cuts your heart and let all that bad stuff comes out, and then new stuff goes into your heart. We thank God for you today, and we pray that you all have heard something that would draw you closer. So if you heard something you want to respond, you can respond. If you don't feel like responding, that is still good. We just thank God that you were here with us today and that you'll be here tomorrow. If the Lord stay the same and we're in the land of the living, we are going to come on the Blog Talk tomorrow. So we thank God for you all. So no one has a word. We're going to pray and close out. Father, we just thank you. We praise you and we glorify your name. Thank you for this word, this sweet word that you give us today. God, we know it's your word because it lines up with your manuscript. And it lines up with the manuscript, and we cherish the word. It is growth for my heart, for my spirit. And I know many out there in computer land, when they hear this word, that it's going to take them to another place in you. Lord Jesus, we ask you to continue to speak to us and speak through us. Keep us safe and secure as we are going into very desperate times in this nation. We ask you, God, to protect the people that are out there in this world. Lord, even those that are evangelizing, we ask you, Father God, to continue to watch over them and keep them safe, Lord. Because we know the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But we ask you, Lord, to keep them safe from this hurt and this harm that's coming after them. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Now, Father, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Tell somebody that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today that would make all the difference in their lives. It may stop them from committing suicide. It may stop them from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see you. They will see your good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. That just means that everything, the good things, all the good things, then there are no bad things. But let's say the attributes of Jesus Christ shows up in your life, shows up in everything that you do, every word that you speak. It speaks life. It speaks kindness. It speaks grace and mercy to people that hear. Speak it out. You know, even the ones that come against you, don't speak against them. Because then if you speak against them, you sound just like them. But say what God say. Speak kind of people. You know, I speak of people wherever I go. Good things about people. You know, because if you come and speak to me bad about somebody, guess what? You'll speak bad to somebody about me. So I have to think about that. You ever hear the saying, he who brings a bone will carry one? Well, yeah, so you have to watch that. So I thank you all for listening to us today. And I pray that you come on tomorrow and be with us tomorrow. And allow the Lord to speak to all of us tomorrow. Have a blessed and safe day. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. God bless you. God keep you. And may God's grace shine upon you. And God give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. The word of God for the people of God. Bless you.